Well, welcome everybody to the Wednesday night women's Bible study. It's glad to see everybody here with us. Tonight, of course, it's the crew of four. We have Anne and Karen there in Texas.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome, everybody.
And Megan and myself here in Vermont. Hello, Megan.
Hello, Robin, and everybody who's joining us.
Tonight there is a teaching on the website. Megan's going to shoot it in the chat, and she'll put it in again later. It's one that Anne wrote years ago. And when I say wrote, she did it prayerfully with a lot of research. And we're going to go through it, but it's something that is there for you to go back to and go through on your own. And get familiar and take advantage of the website. I hope you will. This one is called Vanity of Their Mind. So I hope you guys will go and avail yourself of it on your own. Vanity of Their Mind. We're going to have Karen just start reading word for word down a ways, and then we'll stop. And it is a study on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17, and it goes down through 24. But the bulk of it is 17, 18, and 19. So if you want to get your Bibles out, that's where we will be. So, Karen, if you will begin.
Yes, ma'am. Ephesians 4:17 through 19. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. We are commanded in Ephesians 4:17 through 19 by Paul, by the witness of the Lord, to not walk as the other Gentiles, as other Gentiles. Gentiles can be translated a race, a foreign one, pagan, heathen, people. By reading the context of this scripture, I believe it means heathen and or people. The next part of that scripture.
Stop right there for a second, because that a Gentile is an unbeliever in this context. We're Gentiles because we're not Jews, but we are not to be as unbelievers anymore. So we're actually spiritual Jews, so to speak. But yes. So heathen and or people, it's all that are on the outside of Christ.
Mm-hmm. The next part of that scripture is the real meat in the vanity of their mind. In checking the Greek definitions of mind and vanity, mind is the easiest to understand. It simply means intellect. Vanity is a little harder to get a handle on. Its definition is very involved. Vanity means transientness and moral depravity. It comes from another word meaning empty, profitless, and vain. I looked up transient, and it means passing with time, not enduring, temporary, momentary, and uselessness. Let's look at what vanity of the mind means. Number one, uselessness of the intellect. Two, moral depravity of the intellect. Three, emptiness of the intellect. And four, profitlessness of the intellect. I could go on and on, but I think you get the picture. Let's keep going and we will tie it all together shortly. These are some of the Greek definitions for some of the words in the above scripture. Understanding, deep thought, mind, imagination, darkness. To obscure, vague, hidden. Alienated means to estrange away, to cause to be hostile. Ignorance means to ignore through disinclination. Blindness means stupidity or callousness, hardness. Lasciviousness means licentiousness. And that means lewdness, immorality, and filthy. Uncleanness means impurity. And greediness means inordinate desire. Now it's time to put it all together by using my paraphrase. Verse 17, this I, Paul, say therefore, and by the witness of the Lord, that you no longer walk as other people or heathens walk, in the uselessness, moral depravity, and emptiness of their intellect. Verse 18, having the understanding, deep thought, and imagination hidden, causing to be hostile and alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the stupidity and hardness of their heart. Verse 19, who being past feeling become apathetic, grieve out, have given themselves over to lewdness and immorality, to work all purity with inordinate excessive desire.
Okay.
Should I stop there?
Yes. And okay. Could you, being the one who put this together, want to speak first? A little unfair, I know. I apologize for that.
There are so many teachings out there. No, I knew you were going to call on me. It's just, there's so many teachings out there that people without studying the scriptures just start believing. And they are empty. They're useless. You know, they have no relation at all to scripture. But in their own minds, they're vain. They think better of themselves. They think, see what we know and you don't know. You know, we're so much smarter than you. But basically, it comes down to they're stupid. And that's one of the definitions we saw for the blindness. They're just stupid. And they follow, and I know later on in the teaching it talks about, but so much emphasis is put on the intellect and the education we have now. And the only education we need is the Word of God. That gives us everything we need. I'm not saying that it's wrong to get an education, like going to college, maybe to become a doctor or something. It's not that. It's just they put so much emphasis on the education that it becomes more important than your education of the Word of God.
Yeah, they kind of try to carry that over to the Word of God. They're people that are really highly educated will try to think things through, and they do the same with the Bible and try to think things through and try to intellectualize it,
mm-hmm.
and you can't do it that way.
No, the scripture is simple.
Yeah.
You read it as it's written, and it's very simple. We don't have to analyze it. We don't have to take what we learned in college or high school or whatever and relate that to scripture. That just confuses it. We just have to read the Word of God as is. And when you can trust the Lord and have faith in Him, you find it's very simple to understand. You don't need 14 degrees to be able to understand the scripture.
But Proverbs.
Go ahead.
Proverbs talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. And so the understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom that people have who do not have the Lord is vanity. It's empty. It's hollow. There's nothing actually there because they don't have the first part. They don't have the fear of him. Therefore, what they have as knowledge, wisdom, understanding is has no foundation. So it can't stand.
Mm-hmm. And also in Proverbs 3, it says, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Yeah.
Yes.
That scripture comes to my mind a lot, because it's really the one we had to put into practice. But I wanted to go back and look at some of this stuff, because one thing to recognize right from the get-go is, until we knew Christ, every thought we had falls into this category. And what Paul is saying is that, and so Gentiles continue in that, or the world continues in that, being outside of Christ, but we are no longer to. We're to take that which we knew, and we're to learn a new way. And actually, as we go forward, you'll see wherein addresses it. But to try to reconcile your life before Christ and make it fit with Christ, it ain't gonna work. He says very clearly that our ways are not his ways. Therefore, let us cease from walking in those ways. And the one thing that you kind of said, the intellect, it lifts us up in pride. We walk around and we think we know something, we think we're somewhat. The gospel always humbles us, because we recognize we don't know anything. But the gospel, through the gospel, we're reconciled to God, who does know everything. And he wants to teach us. And we're going to read that as we go further down, his ways. But they're not going to be his ways and our ways. We have to put off our ways, recognizing that, as James wrote in the chat, didn't Paul count it all dung? Yeah, and he was, of all the intellects of his time, right up there. He had it all down, he knew it all, and yet he determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, and submitted, he cast all that off and chose the Lord's way. And that's, to not do that is to remain in the vanity of your own mind. We're supposed to put off ours and put on his. But we can't do it if we have to validate it and make it okay. Our ways aren't okay. Our past isn't okay. It's been swallowed up in the victory through the blood of the Lamb, and the Lord can redeem from it, but it doesn't make it right, and it doesn't justify us. Our justification is solely through the blood of the Lamb. And we got to get that one down, because the gospel is something that humbles us in the presence of the Lord. And it's in that humble and meek state that we are then to walk in a different manner, ministering him. Gosh, Jesus humbled himself. He came down, you know, God and dwelt among us, you know what I mean? And put on the lowest state of a man, and even a lowly man at that. What makes us think that we're supposed to be high and mighty and somewhat? So, uselessness of the intellect, moral depravity of the intellect, emptiness of the intellect, profitlessness of the intellect. Let's put this stuff off, you know. Let's put off our mind and our ways and humble ourselves and learn his. And that's through obedience to his word, and to those who he has put over us, and the word that comes to us through through them. Out of those definitions too, I know that blindness kind of struck me, and the reason is because we know Jesus spoke a lot about the hardness of the hearts of people, and because of the blindness of their heart, that's a hardness of heart. Ignorance was an interesting one too. Ignore through disinclination, meaning you're not inclined to hear. You're inclined not to hear. Choose ignorance rather than the knowledge of the Lord. Alienated. Go ahead.
A lot of the infinite, in there. Part of that ignorance too is so much emphasis is put on our own minds and our own knowledge that it's very easy just to, well, just slough it off, you know, because we know so much more. We're intellectual. We have this, all this education that, you know, we negate the simpleness of the gospel.
And by so doing, we negate being in obedience to it.
That's right. And if you put so much emphasis on your own intellect, where's the faith?
Yeah.
You have faith in your own intellect. You don't have faith in the Lord.
Yeah.
Another one of your definitions here, and alienated, to a strange way, to cause to be hostile. That's the truth. You know, the Word of God says you cannot serve two masters. You'll love the one and hate the other. And how often do you find yourself, if you do, I'm not trying to, but where you hate and are hostile and are alienated from God rather than repentant? Being alienated from the life of God. God is life, and He's made a way for us to partake of it, but it's up to us to do so. But that was one that stuck out to me, because it's natural to be angry at rebuke. Correction. That kind of thing. That's what this is talking about.
Yeah.
Your understanding there is what you all have been speaking about with the intellect, deep thought, mind, imagination, darkness, to obscure. It ends up obscuring the truth rather than revealing the truth. And I think your point of the gospel being simple is true. It's us that make it hard. It's right out there, if we'll but believe.
Because it's so powerful, the gospel, we want to make it more complicated than it really is. And we add things to it to make it more complicated, and which strokes our pride.
Yeah.
But you get down to it, it is very simple. It doesn't take a lot of intellect or education to understand it. You just read the words, and I can't stop using the word simple. It's very easy to understand if we put ourselves out of the way. Because we put ourselves in the middle of things, we mess things up all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, we do naturally, but there's also that natural, fleshly thing that wants to be somewhat, and the gospel says that God is. You know, Paul
right.
talks about
right.
where is boasting. Our boast is the Lord. He is our hope. He is our salvation. He is our help. He is, I mean, the gospel humbles us. It says that we need him. We need him in every single way, in all things, you know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, like you said, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We need our paths directed by him. We don't do a good job. We don't even do a good job. We do evil. But he'll direct us in good. But we got to recognize that that means we come into agreement with him and out of agreement with ourself. And thankfully, that's part of why, you know, fellowship is food for the soul, if we'll fellowship in him, because we exhort one another in just that, to get into in the Word of God rather than in the flesh. I'm not saying all fellowship, you know, you talk to a person who is in the Lord, doesn't mean your fellowship is of the Lord, but fellowship in the Lord ought to be the exhortation of the knowledge of God. So, did you guys have anything else to say on that?
No.
No.
Karen, if you would like to pick up with, now let's get back to the scripture and relate it to today.
Okay. Now let's get back to the scripture and relate it to today. There is a lot of emphasis placed on the intellect in education. You don't have to speak to too many ministers to see that. You'll hear a lot of bragging concerning college, university, seminary, degrees, etc. I'm not saying it is wrong to get an education, but where is it focused? If that education is not led by the Holy Spirit and focused on Jesus Christ, then it is the vanity of the mind that Paul talks about. Their focus is on man's wisdom, not God's. When ministers get caught up in the vanity of their mind, they no longer have an understanding of God and become hostile toward him and his word. And because they lack understanding and no longer want to know his truth, they go for more education and look for ways to discredit the Bible. Just a few examples of what I mean. 76% of the ministers in denominational churches today do not believe in the virgin birth. The rapture is being taught in very few churches today. Instead, people are hearing about the kingdom age. A high percentage of ministers do not believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that is the very foundation of Christianity. Can you not see the vanity of the mind? It becomes more important than what God says to us in his word.
Okay, you can
stop
there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, Ann.
One of the things that is in this is about...
You guys are breaking up.
We're hearing about the kingdom age. It is as it was. I'm going to be going. I got to reset. So let me come back. Let me go off and I'll come back on.
Okay. We will await your return. And we will. We'll have a little dead air space here because she wants to, she's going to tell you about this kingdom age when she gets back. Well, are you back?
Okay, I'm back.
Okay, it's all yours.
I hope I'm not breaking up now. The kingdom age was a teaching that was going around a number of years ago, and like I said, it's not real prevalent today, even though there are still people that believe it. Just go look online. That our job was to prepare for Jesus's return when he comes back to sit on his throne, you know, when he comes back after the tribulation. And they actually were saying that Jesus was going to be coming back on a 747, and they were to roll out the red carpet to welcome him, but we would have everything ready for him to come in to his kingdom. And to me, that is definitely a vanity of the mind to actually think that would be possible. If you had any knowledge of the scriptures, you know how ridiculous that was. But there were a number of people, because of pride, thought it was their job to do it, get everything all ready for Jesus to come back. I don't know, did I explain that correctly?
Yes.
Been a while.
I thought it was interesting that how few people believe in the virgin birth. And we know that he came through a virgin birth because he didn't have an earthly father, but rather a heavenly father. And in because of that, we also know he came without the sinful nature that you and I walk in. But I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, listen to the Galatians Bible study. But we know that Adam, too, being created by God, did not know sin. And he was given one commandment, which he couldn't keep. And yet Jesus came into a world laden with sin and walked through it for 33 years, never once sinning. And it was a choice Jesus made to do nothing but that which his heavenly Father told him to do. And that's really what we're talking about, isn't it? To learn to walk even as he walked.
Amen.
Because he had thoughts. He was a man. But he did the will of his Father. And put off anything that sought to turn him from such a thing.
Yeah. I want to just interject here for a second on like the 70% of the ministers and high percentage and so forth. This is written about 20 years ago, and these were some surveys that were taken. And it was surprising to me that how little ministers that are in the pulpit today actually believe the Word of God. Unfortunately, I think the percentages are higher today, and that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. And it's the thing is I doubt if they know the Word of God either, let alone believe it.
We had a man that came out and stayed with us that had, he was in seminary, and he had like already 3 degrees in theology and all this, you know, PhDs and all that other stuff. And he didn't know the Word of God.
Yeah.
And when we would be talking to him, and Davey would say, quote a scripture and give a meaning for it, he said, well, that's not what my professor said. But he didn't even know what the scripture was, much less the meaning of it. It was everything about what his professor had taught him. It wasn't about what was in the Word of God.
Yeah.
And after all those years in quote-unquote seminary, or cemetery as we call it, he had no knowledge of the Word of God. He just had knowledge of what his professor had told him.
Well, in a non-spiritual corollary, Steve, as many have heard, I don't know if you'll remember this, but he in law school took a constitutional law class, and I think I know he got an A in it, but the one thing he'll say is they never read the Constitution. So it's the same kind of thing. He didn't know the Constitution, but yet he aced a constitutional law class. Now, how can that be? It doesn't even make sense, and that's the same kind of thing here, you know.
Well, you could also look at it, too, that Obama was supposedly a professor in constitutional law. And we can see how much he knows the Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a kind of funny story. I test drove vehicles a couple weeks ago. And so you're sitting in a car with somebody. And the first guy I was sitting in, somehow we got on, you know what it was, he used the word carnal. Well, now who uses the word carnal but a Christian? So I said, are you a Christian? He goes, yeah. And we started talking, and he goes to me that he wanted to go to seminary. I was going to say cemetery there. And it was funny because I said, well, you know what the Bible calls people that go to seminary, don't you? And he goes, no, what? And I said, Pharisees.
Oh, God. That's beautiful.
He didn't get it, didn't turn him. But it was funny to me, kind of.
Good answer, though.
But yeah, learning things and knowing how to do things and, we see in the Bible, gosh, when they did the temple, the Lord gave wisdom and commanded those with that wisdom to do certain things, and they were skilled. They weren't unskilled, but, they were obedient too. And, so it's not a matter of being stupid, but it's a matter of using that which the Lord gives us in His service.
I mean, being educated is not wrong. I mean, we need to be educated in certain areas. I mean, how do you balance your checkbook unless you've been educated in how to do that? How do you follow a recipe? Like you said, how do you build things? How do you measure the boards if you don't know how to use the tape measure? There's so many areas where education is very important, but it should never be put before an education into Jesus Christ. And how we learn that is by reading the scriptures. And personally, I'd rather my doctor have gone to medical school.
Yeah.
Yes. It's not, a license to be stupid, but, I know just at the ranch, you have everybody there is skilled in a variety of ways that, cause that ranch to prosper. It doesn't
right.
prosper just because people sit in their closet and pray and ask the Lord to accomplish something. It's things they step forth in obedience and faith and do, and there's a lot of skill out there that has come through education. And here amongst those of us who aren't there, I mean, let's move on down through here. And, if you just read the next two paragraphs there, Karen.
Yes. Ministers and their congregations start rationalizing the Word of God. To avoid any misunderstanding, rationalizing means to devise plausible explanations for one's acts, beliefs, etc., usually without being aware that these are not the real motives. If you rationalize the Word of God, you are making it conform to what you want to believe about yourself and your actions. God says we are to conform ourselves and our actions to His Word. If we are not where God wants us to be, we can always justify it. We always want to believe that we are okay in God's eyes. It's the old, I'm okay, you're okay psychology. You can hear it from the pulpits today. Love, love, love. Don't preach about sin. That's a negative gospel. Be positive. Only preach love. Many ministers believe that if they don't acknowledge sin in their congregation, then their congregation will not see sin in their minister. Be warned. We can't hide our sins from God, and we will be accountable.
Yeah. I think this idea of rationalizing the Word of God and making it conform to what you want to believe about yourself and your actions is, I hope people will hear that and that we will let the Lord shine a light where we do that. When you were reading that, Karen, I have to say, I go back to, you know, even in fellowship with one another, we should be salty and be discerning. Not that we jump all over each other and are in constant something like that, but I am sure all of us, in fact, I know for a fact that we can be free in our natural man with certain people, that we don't walk in that same way with other people. And it's really a matter of hanging out in the rational man, oftentimes, rather than in the truth of the gospel and exhorting one another in that. And I'm not talking about baking or homeschooling or sewing or knitting, things like that. I'm talking about when we give place to things that aren't in line with the Lord and fellowship in that. And it's common. Yeah, definitely a choice to change our flawed understanding. Our understanding is just plain and simple wrong. The Word of God says that it's evil. And God has given us the opportunity to learn the truth. But man, don't we have to humble ourselves and admit that we don't know it so that we can learn it. The gospel Amen. Humbles us. Which is a good place. It's not a cut. It's the love of God to us, because our ways aren't his ways. And he has stretched out his hand through the blood of Jesus Christ to teach us his ways. And we're going to get into that here. The truth is love. So when you read that paragraph on preachers speaking love, 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 don't talk about sin. Well, that means you leave people in their sin. That is hardly love.
Amen.
Right.
Did you guys want to say anything before we move on? I do want to say one thing. We are okay and acceptable to God by what he did. We've been washed by his blood, and we are saved by his grace, and in that we are okay, but that isn't the same as just being who we are and not putting off that which is contrary and at enmity with God and coming to obedience to him. But we do it even as we know we're already accepted in him. And that's one of those beautiful truths about the gospel, is that we're accepted in him because of what he did. But now we need to learn a new way in service to him. And we can't really, I don't know how we can reconcile saying we're accepted in him and not learn a new way and think that we'll stay in him. The Word of God says that he's going to cut off, you know, the dead weight, so to speak. John 15, abiding in the vine. He's accepted us, but now we need to put off that which is not of him and learn that which is of him.
Amen.
So it is kind of interesting, because here we stand, all of us, accepted in him, but that doesn't mean we're all right. That doesn't mean we don't need fixing. So let's submit and let him fix us, right?
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's interesting in that last week we went through teachings and scriptures on self-righteousness, and it correlates so well with the vanity of the mind. That we think we're better than we really are. We consider ourselves very righteous, But it's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness that we put on, that we receive from him. And we have to get rid of this vanity. We're nothing special. We're loved by him. And if we obey him, he blesses us. But it's not because the only thing we have done is accept him and strive to walk in his word. It has nothing to do with how brilliant we are or how spiritual we are. So I found this, the teaching last week and what we're studying tonight, just the correlation is just perfect.
Amen.
Amen.
Karen, if you would read down through the end now.
All right. In Ephesians 4:19, it is very clear where it all leads. It no longer matters if they are leading a godly life and they are under the control of excessive desire for sin, especially immorality. This was and is a very strong warning from Paul. It's something that we need to be watchful of and to be careful to not fall into. He does tell us how to do that. Look at Ephesians 4:20 through 32. I will hit a few high points and let you read and study it yourself. In Ephesians 4:22, Paul says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That's pretty plain. Stop the old behavior that is corrupt, rotten, and against God's word. In Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed, meaning the whole course of life now flows in a different direction, in the spirit of your mind, intellect. In Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul gives us the warning and then tells us how to keep from falling into it. If we don't take heed and follow his instructions, we are without excuse when we stand before the throne of God.
Anne, would you like to comment on that?
I don't really have anything to add to it. I think we just stop the old behavior. That is up to us. I know a lot of people sit back and they say, oh, God, take this away from me. Whatever sin that may be, they look to God to do it all, but he tells us right here, we have to do it. We have to put off the old man. We have to put off the sin. He'll give us the ability to do that, but we have to do it. He won't do it for us.
Yeah.
And that's standing in faith and that's standing in obedience to his word. And unfortunately, so many people out there just sit there in their sin expecting God to take it away from them. And that's not going to happen.
Well, I would add one word to what you said. We also stand in hope because we believe him that we can actually do this.
Right.
And so, you know, when we fall, it doesn't undermine that hope we have in him. And that hope is because through him we can. Elsie wouldn't have said it.
That's right.
I just want to go back and read 20 and 21, which weren't here, but as it says here, to go back and study it yourself, which I say to all of us. But it says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now this really kind of to me gets down to the brass tacks of it, because have you heard him? Have you been taught of him? Or do you hear and then go and do your own thing and think it's godly? What does it say here in this that she just read? Let me find it. It says, stop the old behavior that is corrupt, rotten, and against God's word. Now, that doesn't mean you think that old behavior is corrupt, rotten, and against God's word. I just want to point that out. There's some behavior, we can all say, yep, that is in that category. But
we also try to justify our behavior.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't look at it as corrupt and rotten against God's word. We try to justify it.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we have to stop doing.
Yeah,
because that's what we like to do, is to think that we're okay.
Mm-hmm. We try to excuse our behavior.
Yeah.
And we can defend it all day long, but it doesn't make it right.
No.
But we do have the blood of the Lamb that washes us from it. It's not like we're left because we had this old behavior. His sacrifice on the cross is and was and sufficient to forgive us it. And it is in that faith and that knowledge that we press on to that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because of the goodness and sufficiency and the perfection that God already has accomplished. And now it's for us to come into agreement with it by faith.
Amen.
The beautiful thing about God says it, we can do it, is that we can. Doesn't mean we don't struggle to do it. Doesn't mean we don't fall down. Doesn't mean we don't have a lot to learn. But we can do it. We can do all things. And when you read earlier on in chapter 4 of Ephesians, it talks about that. It talks about from whom the whole body fitly joined together and, gosh, I need new glasses, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This, you know, we are the body of Christ that is being called to stand and do even as Jesus did when he, in a fleshly body, walked on this earth. And we do it the exact same way he did it. And that is by putting off the old. Well, he didn't have the old man, but for us, we put that off and we walk in him in obedience, even as he did. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And make a new choice every day to do that.
And every time we fall.
Mm-hmm. We may have to make that choice every 5 minutes, but we need to make the choice.
Yeah. And I have to say, starting your day, submitting it to the Lord and calling upon him and just recognizing your need and that he's there is, and reading the word, these are really beneficial things to do.
Amen.
And it'll strengthen you to call upon him and to know the word throughout your day. And let's pray for one another, that we be strengthened in these things and do them and not get all hung up about the fact that we're found in need of the gospel.
Amen.
Well, we will be back next week with a new topic. But this, Megan, if you did throw it in the chat real recently. Thank you. It's right there on the website. I hope everybody will go back and take a read through and go back to the Word and read these scriptures right out of the Bible, even though they're in here. But just read the Word, too. And I pray that the Lord will strengthen all of us.
Yeah. Well, if you don't go to the teaching from the chat room, it's at, go to thefishermanministry.org. On the left hand side, go to the column, go in that column and look for teachings, click on teachings, and you'll be able to, it'll bring you up to all the teachings that we have posted, including the vanity of the mind. But I want to encourage you, there's a lot of other teachings there that would be very beneficial, so don't just stop with that one. Read some of the other ones too.
Amen. They're there for us, right?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, may the Lord bless you all and us, and may we repent of our hardness of heart and be inclined unto him. Amen.
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 Good night, everyone.
Evening. Yeah.
Good night.
Good night.